Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord, and can be trusted. So a little boy was walking along the beach with his dad, and they came across a dead pigeon there on the shore. And the little boy asked what happened, and the dad explained, "Well, the pigeon died, the bird has died, and it went up to heaven to be with God." And the boy looks at the pigeon there on the ground, and then he looks at his dad and says, "And God threw him back?" Well, there are no dead bodies in this story. There's a missing body, at least in the beginning, but there are no dead bodies. And did you hear how Matthew tells this story? Did you hear that? Maybe Matthew was in quarantine a little bit too long, because there is a lot of special effects that the other gospel writers don't have in their account. Matthew has earthquakes. Matthew has an angel descending down. Matthew has soldiers passing out. Matthew has the angel rolling the stone away. All of this happens in front of the women. And those poor women, can you imagine? Think about the day they had. Early in the morning, it's still dark, maybe right before dawn, they go to the tomb, an unpleasant reminder of what had happened on Friday night. There's a stone in front of the tomb, another unpleasant reminder of what had happened on that Friday night. There are soldiers in front of the stone in front of the tomb, more unpleasant reminders of what had happened on that Friday night. And then an earthquake, and then an angel, and then the soldiers fall away, and then the angel rolls the stone away, and then the angel explains that Jesus is not in the tomb. The tomb is empty, that Jesus has risen, and they're supposed to go and tell the disciples that he has risen. And on their way to do that, they meet Jesus. All of that happens before they've even had breakfast. For those of you who are coffee drinkers, we don't even know. Maybe they have not even had their Starbucks, Dunkin' Donut, Espresso, Double Shot, Mojo, or whatever it is you guys drink. Remember, the women were going to mourn Jesus. The last thing they expected was that they would be meeting Jesus. After all, they had just left the tomb. The angel had already said he wasn't there. You can almost hear the women saying, "Well, he's supposed to be here. What do you mean he's not here? We just left him here Friday night. What happened? Did you guys lose Jesus?" And the angel explains, "No, he's risen." And while they may not have known exactly what that meant, they did know what it meant to go and tell. And that's exactly what they're doing when they run smack dab into Jesus. Now let that sink in a little bit. The women did not meet Jesus because they were more righteous or stronger or smarter or more faithful than you are. Their day had already been crazy, and the last thing they expected was that they would meet Jesus. It wasn't like they were telling each other, now if we only believe strong enough, we can make Jesus alive. Or if only we have enough faith, we'll be able to see Jesus. No, Jesus surprised them. He surprised them. It was the last thing they expected. And do you know why they met Jesus? They met Jesus because they were being obedient. That's when we meet Jesus, when we are being obedient. If you skip ahead to the end of the chapter, you'll notice that the disciples finally get the chance to meet Jesus too, when they are obedient. But in that part of the passage, we're told some of them doubted, and yet they still worshiped. It's okay to doubt and worship at the same time. You can be obedient and doubt and worship all at the same time. We've been dealing with this COVID-19 virus, and a lot of people are saying that life will not be the same. Well, it wasn't the same after Easter either. Easter changed things forever. I know that the last thing we expected when we started this new year was that church would be canceled on Easter, that we would not have an Easter sunrise service at the beach, that we would not be celebrating any baptisms. The last thing anybody expected was that our sanctuaries would be empty on Easter. And yes, our sanctuary is empty, but so was the tomb. But an empty tomb holds no life. An empty sanctuary holds no life. We're able to celebrate because even though our sanctuary is empty, our congregation is full. Full of life. Full of faith. Full of hope. Full of love. You are filled with joy because you know the truth. And the truth is, we are not defined by the circumstances of the world. After that first Easter, the Roman Empire did not go away. Death did not go away. Injustice did not go away. Those things continued, but people discovered that those things no longer had any real power over their lives. No, the COVID-19 virus has not gone away. Death has not gone away. Sin has not gone away. But those things no longer define us, no longer define who we are. Church is canceled, but you can't cancel Easter. Beaches are closed, but sunrises continue. Yes, our sanctuary is empty, but our congregation is full because your heart is full, because you still love. You still have faith. You still have joy. You are still a disciple. And you are obedient even when you doubt. You don't have to pass a test to meet Jesus. I'm sure the women had all kinds of confusion and chaos and maybe even fear when Jesus met them. And did you hear how that was told? Jesus came to them. They didn't go to him. They were just being obedient. And Jesus came to them. And Jesus is with you. That's the whole point of Christianity. From Christmas to Easter. From Emmanuel, God with us, to the risen Savior. The whole point is for us to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The title of the sermon is Resurrection Power, and that's the power that you have. You did not need to go to the beach this morning to know that the sun rose. The sun rises even without witnesses, not just on Easter, but on every day, because each day brings new hope, new life, a new witness for the way God is working in the world. Of course it's anxious times and terribly inconvenient. But God is in this. God's got this. And God also has you. God has called us to give a witness to something that some people may find hard to believe. That's the reality that the women faced. No one was going to believe them. They had a hard time believing it themselves until they experienced it. Only our sanctuary is empty. You are filled with the resurrection power. You are filled with grace. You are filled with hope. And you are called to share, to witness this news with others. If you found a place that had unlimited wipes or toilet paper or water, you would share that information. And this is even better news. Share the word to a world that desperately needs to hear good news. Go and tell, because you are filled with resurrection power. We are not defined by a virus. We are defined by a victory. A victory given to us in Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus, our Savior, forever. Amen. And it is that victory that we celebrate here at this table with this meal at this time. We don't just remember a death. We remember that Jesus was raised. We remember a victory that God gave not only to Jesus but to each of us, that we might know nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's grace. Nothing can separate us from God. Not our sins, not death, nothing. For on the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Please join me in prayer. Lord our God, as we remember the victory given to us in Jesus Christ, as we remember the bread, as we remember the cup, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, help us to also remember that you are with us always in whatever circumstance or situation we face. You never leave us alone. You indeed are with us as we face our challenges, as we face our chaos. You are here to remind us of your ever-living, ever-loving presence. May we feel that grace fill us as we receive now the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Again, we will not be giving, obviously, an invitation, but it is a time of affirmation, a time for us again to remember and to celebrate the way God has come into our lives through Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you once again, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you, and amen.